Hey, Brooke, thanks so much for being here. I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So let me ask you a question. If you had the opportunity to be the governor, what would you do?
Oh man, that coming in with the hard questions first. The first thing that comes to my mind, education policy is really where my heart is at. And so, I think if I was governor, one of the first things would be something to do with education. First thing that comes to mind is with the QBE formula, the quality-based education, which is how education is funded in the state. I think it was originally passed in the 80s, I want to say like 85. And I think education, the whole world has evolved, but especially education in the past 30 years. And so there's been a lot of chatter about addressing QBE, but that's something I would really like to do if I was governor. Bring everybody in the room, sit them down and say, this is what I want to do. This is what I want my legacy to be. And really get in the weeds and rewrite the law there. So I think that's what I would do if I could have my pick.
And if you had to explain that to a layman like me, what is quality-based education?
So it's basically how it's the funding formula that the state uses to fund all the schools in the state. And so all of the school districts have, it gets really in the weeds. There's different weights for different things within the formula. And so that's how it determines how much a district gets to educate a child. So there's essentially like a price tag, for how much it costs to educate one child in each district. And so the funding formula was originally written back when QBE first passed. And so there's been a lot of talk in recent years about how as education has evolved, as things have just changed in the world, how you need to go back and look at this old formula that's been the same for 30 years and just readdress the different weights and how it works so that maybe there's more equity across the board and just look at how we can better fund our schools. So maybe that gives a little bit of context, but even I am still trying to really wrap my head around all of the different levels of the QBE formula, but it's very interesting for sure.
Okay, that's cool. And so you probably have been in this government relations in for how long?
So a little bit, not as long as people think. I started my first session when I was 19 as an intern. So this is I just completed my fifth session, so I'm going to my sixth. So
Okay.
I'm only 24. I'm very young. But
Okay.
I've been around about 5 years,
Yeah.
so
Yeah, I think it's not the age, I think, which matters. I think it's, your experiences. So if you were to tell someone who, who's thinking of getting into this space, would you encourage that? Or if, or what do you think are the common pitfalls, which they should avoid?
yeah, I mean, I think I really enjoy what I do. I love it. I first interned in lobbying when I was 19, so I've been doing this the whole time. And so I got a little bit of experience in the governor's office. I worked on the governor's campaign, and so I've seen kind of the campaign side of things. I've seen the executive branch side of things, and I found myself when I was doing those other things, as much as I loved what I was doing, I always kind of had that part of me that was like, oh, but I wish I was back in the legislative process. I really have just enjoyed it and I fell in love with it from the start. So I definitely would encourage it. I think working a legislative session is such a good experience. And I think people either love it or they hate it, and you know pretty quickly. And so I think it's a great experience. And especially if you are like a student like me and you have a school that was supporting me and allowed me the opportunity to take a semester off and intern, I think definitely go for it. It's a lot to learn. It's a lot to take in, but I definitely would encourage it. And it was, getting involved was one of the best things I've ever done for myself. So I would definitely encourage it. And as far as pitfalls, of course, like for me, I didn't live anywhere near Atlanta. I'm not from Atlanta. And so doing the commute from Athens, where I went to school, was a little bit tough every day. And of course, you're making like minimum wage when you're an intern. And so I understand there's a lot of barriers for some folks that are wanting to get involved. But I think it's just such a good experience. You meet so many people, and I know a lot of people who did a session as an intern and then took a totally different path, but was able to get on that path because they got experience at the Capitol.
And would you consider yourself as an extrovert?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
I have to think about that. Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, the reason why I'm asking is, if like, if people who are more of an introvert, do you think they can still,
Yeah.
qualify to be a lobbyist?
I think people perceive me as an extrovert a lot because I'm very talkative. I try to be very friendly. But I really get my energy from being alone. And so I think I'm a little bit quieter than people may think. And I think you can be on the quieter side and lobby. I think it's really about like where you get your energy from. I know some people who get their energy from the crowds and being around people. But I think you can do it. I think everybody, especially when you're dealing with the legislature with 236 people, people have different personalities and click with people. So I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and I know that. So I definitely think that no matter what your personality is, regardless of where you get your energy from, I think that you can do this job. I think so.
What's the one situation you've been in where you saw something happening at the Capitol where you felt like, wow, this is really something cool, and you like to emulate, someone, or you've seen something and you were inspired by that? Have there been any instances like that?
There's been a few. I'm trying to think of a specific one. There's a bill that I worked on this past session that was really meaningful to me, and I think it's the most meaningful thing I've worked on so far in my career. And so that's like the first thing that stands out to me because it was amazing. But we worked on this bill that creates a mental health program over at the Department of Veteran Services. So it's a grant program at Veteran Services that helps give it's a creates a public-private partnership to create more mental health facilities around the state, specifically aimed at helping veterans, active military, and their family. And getting involved in that it was so amazing. Seeing the bill as it moved, through the House and through the Senate, and all the support that we got, it was really amazing. It was one of those moments where when I saw the bill finally pass and then get sent to the governor's desk, to see the vote up on the screen and it was unanimous, it was so overwhelming and amazing to just be like, this is genuinely going to help people in their life. People are going to have access to mental health. It was a lot of gravity all at once. And it's almost overwhelming to think about it even now. But that's one of those moments that when you're a part of something like that, and you really allow yourself to think about the gravity of what that does, it makes it all 100% worth it. So that's something that was really inspirational to me, that I was really honored to be a part of.
And did anything surprise you when you started working in this field?
I would say probably how much everyone works together. I think that, when you're on the outside, everything is so partisan. And then I feel like once you get in the Capitol, you realize that everyone is working together, regardless of party lines, regardless of status. And of course, there's still, they still butt heads. Of course, that's going to happen. But I think when I realized how much everyone works together, from the lobbyists to the staff to the legislators, it was like, oh, everybody here is working together. And I really enjoy that part of the job, is that I do get to work with people of different parties and, all different backgrounds. And I really enjoy that part of it. And so I think that was a little surprising to me at first, especially coming from the campaign world where everything was so hyper partisan and you're so used to that kind of, us versus them mentality.
And do you think that's specific to Georgia state? Or I don't know if you've worked in other states, but do you think that's because of the Georgia state, how it's, laid out, that's more prominent there? Or do you think it's common across other states as well?
Feel like my other friends that I have that work in other states say that it's a lot the same. I think the general tone of the country, I think we're moving more and more farther away from that idea. But I feel like what I've heard when you're talking about state legislatures, I feel like there's a good amount of working together just because, you know, you kind of have that, you have that shared bond of we're all from the same state. We're all here together doing this. And, you know, I feel like maybe with Congress, it's different because it's all different corners of the country. And, you know, you have different parts of the country. It's different. I mean, even dialects different and all these different things are different. So it's a little bit harder to come together. But I feel like when you're talking about the state legislature, I think there's a lot more bonding because we're all here together. And there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of shared community among the state legislature. So I would say that I feel like I've said, based on what others have said, there's a good, it's pretty much that way on the state level. But I would be interested to know what others think about that actually.
And I mean, I've been to the North Carolina state legislature once, and I had like a ton of respect after just walking around for one day there. For the amount of respect I had for you guys because of the committee meetings you need to attend and, like, you know, the amount of work which goes behind it. So if you had to explain someone who is like listening to this and they're saying like, what does a lobbyist do? I mean, how would you, you know, educate them the role of what a lobbyist truly does?
So I like to think of myself as kind of the middleman between the private sector and state government. I like that I really enjoy the part of my job where I'm able to have a conversation with someone who is not involved in politics. They have their thing and that they're an expert in, and take the information they're giving me, package it up and put it in kind of political speak, and then pass that along to the relevant person. And so I think a lot of it is education. I think a lot of our job is just working with members of the executive branch, whoever it is, to just educate them on what we're working on. And I think what's a lot of people don't realize is, especially in, you know, like in Georgia's legislature, it's a part-time legislature. It's 40 days out of the year. And so all of our General Assembly members are normal people with normal jobs. And when session's over, they go back and they resume their normal job, whatever that is. And so you think about these people that get elected, they're not going to be an expert in everything. It's just, it's not going to happen. You know, if you're from the healthcare field and you get elected, you might know a lot about healthcare, but you may not know a lot about agriculture or transportation or whatever. And so I think keeping in mind that these are people and they have normal jobs and, you know, normal brain capacity like the rest of us, that they need help and they need to be able to have people they can trust to go to and say, help me understand this, because this is something I'm super well versed on. So I really enjoy that part of it. And that's a bulk of what we do, is just getting to know these members and building a relationship with them where they know they can trust us and come to us and get accurate information about whatever that they are needing to know about to help them make a better decision for their district.
Let's go a little bit into your personality. How would you describe yourself in one word?
Oh man, in one word? I would like to say kind. I would like to say kind. That's probably, if I could think of a word that I'm always striving towards, that's the word that I'm really always kind of working towards. So I would like to say kind.
Good. Who is your favorite musician?
Oh man. So I collect music. I'm a big music person. It kind of changes every day. It depends on kind of what the current moment is. I love Harry Styles. That's the Gen Z in me. I do love Harry Styles a lot. I like all kinds of music. So I mean, the Beatles, George Harrison's my favorite Beatle. There's a lot of different answers depending on what mood or what era you're talking about.
Okay. What is the one thing you want your family to remember about you?
I want them to remember me as, I guess, to remember how important they are to me. I'm an only child. I'm very close to my parents, very close to all my family. And I would not be my personality, where I am, my interest. I wouldn't be who I am without them. And they've poured so much into me. And so I would just want them to always remember how much they mean to me and how it's never lost on me all that they gave and how much they poured into me my whole life and all the support they've given me. So
good. And what is the best compliment you ever received?
The best compliment. Man, these are really making me think. The best compliment I ever received. You know, honestly, kind of back to the what I said earlier about being kind. Every time someone just says like, oh yeah, you know, someone said you were like, hearing someone say that I'm kind means a lot to me. And it's such a simple concept, but I really want to make people feel good about themselves. And so I really enjoy any kind of, you know, just being told that I made somebody feel good about themselves or that I had empathy or warmth toward them. I don't can't think of a specific instance, but I always really appreciate hearing something like that. That's how I kind of feel like I'm on the right track.
Okay. What is the most daring thing you've done in your life?
The most daring thing I've done? Kind of this in a way.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
I don't know. I'm not a big risk taker. I'm a very by the book person. No, my story to kind of how I got here was really interesting. And there's a whole drawn out story that I'll spare you from. But, you know, the way I got involved in politics in general, I was a freshman at Georgia. I was finishing my freshman year. And I was kind of getting like, oh, I haven't done anything yet. You know, I finished my first year of college. I don't have anything on my resume. I really need to get involved in something. And one day I got a random email from UGA's like mass listserv and said that the Kemp for Governor campaign was looking for interns. And I was like, I don't know Brian Kemp. I don't know anybody that works for Brian Kemp. And this was back in the primary in 2018. So there was all these other people in the race. I was like, I'm just going to send my resume and see what happens. And, you know, it turned into, I got on the campaign and it's just, you know, from the campaign, I met Mark by chance and who owns our firm. And it's just been this whole snowball effect. And it all started just from kind of being like, let me just send my resume and see what happens. And it's truly been like a roller coaster ever since. It's been nonstop. And I ended up, you know, taking some time. I took a semester off school to come intern. I rearranged and graduated early to take a job. So I've kind of just, it all kind of started from that first thing, that first just random email. And now all this has happened and I've kind of rearranged my whole life around being and doing the job that I do now. And so it's not super daring in that I've been like skydiving or anything.
That's okay.
But it's, like I look back over the past like 5 years of my life and it's just so crazy to me that, you know, these small little decisions end up completely taking your life a whole different direction. So I don't know if that's the answer you're looking for, but it feels daring to me.
So. That's good. I mean, there's no right or wrong answer. So it's good. If you had the time capsule to go back to any era, what era would you pick?
Ooh. Maybe the 90s, maybe the 80s or the 90s, maybe the 60s. I don't know. See, that gets into my love of music. I really love the music from the 60s a lot, like 60s and 70s. I don't know. But maybe the 90s, the early 90s before I was around. I think that would be, I love the kind of what was going on in politics. And I think that would be really interesting to go back to like the early to mid 90s.
Got it. With that, let's go a little bit into your past. So where did you grow up and how was your childhood like? And you said like, you know, getting into government relations was just pure happenstance, mm-hmm. but were you even remotely interested in politics when you were a kid?
Yeah. So I kind of grew up all over Georgia. I don't have a set hometown, kind of moved all around, which I hated at the time when I was a kid. But now I have a really good appreciation for because I feel like it's really helped me understand all different parts of Georgia. So I grew up, I'm an only child, and very close to all my family, as I said. And, you know, politics is something in my household that was always discussed very freely. My dad and his mother were both involved in politics back in the 90s, early 2000s. And so it was always something that I heard about. You know, I saw the pictures, and my family's the kind of family that we get together for Thanksgiving or Christmas, and that's what everybody's talking about. We're talking about the latest thing going on in politics. And so it's always been something that's just been very freely discussed around me. And I feel like some kids, they maybe not hear about politics as much, but it's just something I always grew up hearing and always had a really big interest in. And you know, my whole childhood, I really wanted to be a doctor. That's what I thought I was going to be. And then when I was about 16 and I started actually applying to colleges, I kind of had this moment of like, do you really want to be a doctor? Could you be a doctor? Do you want to spend all this time in school? Blah, blah, blah. And I was having lunch with my grandmother one day, the one who had worked in politics. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm filling out college applications. I have no idea what I'm going to put as my major. I just don't know where I want to go from here. And she's like, well, what about political science? You've always really enjoyed politics. And I just remember I can see the booth we were sitting in the Steak and Shake when we had this conversation. And it was like a light bulb went off. And I was like, of course I should put political science. And I never thought about anything else, never thought about any other major. I put on my college apps and I was poli sci all the way through, never dreamt about changing my major. It was just so obvious to me that I want to do something in politics. So that's kind of how I just always being around it, I always had a really strong appreciation for it. And like I said, you know, went to college and stumbled into the campaign, and it's kind of just been ever since. So that's kind of my background.
Okay, that's good. And what happened during college? Did you pick political science? You said you picked political science, but you stay in that for the next couple of years, and then what happened after soon after that? And I know you went into internship, but walk us through that, you know, couple of years during the graduation.
So I went in with political science. I ended up adding communications as well on there, about halfway through, somewhere in there, I added communications as well. But yeah, so I joined Governor Kemp's campaign at the end of my freshman year. So that was like April of 2018. Did that through the election, of course, November of 18 when he first got elected. And then December of 18 is when I met Mark Middleton, my boss. We met at the Kemp's Christmas party and just struck up conversation. And it was, like I said, there's a whole nother long backstory to it, but we just exchanged information. And he said, hey, you know, if you'd like to find something at the Capitol, I'd love to help you find an internship. And, you know, he had never met me before, did not know who I was, but he was, you know, he said, yeah, I want to help you. Of course, you helped the campaign. So send him my resume, my very short resume. And he said he'd help me find something. And then, long story short, he asked if I wanted to come intern at his firm. And so, the 2019 session, January of 2019, came in. That was my first session interning with him. And then, was in the governor's office doing an internship for a little bit, focusing on education policy, at the governor's office of student achievement. Went back to school, came back into the 20 session pandemic. So then there's that whole chunk of time. And then I graduated in December of 2020 and came on full time at Mark's firm at Middleton. So, and now I've been at Middleton ever since. So,
Nice. And do you feel like, you know, go doing the campaign, did that help you to where you are right now? And would you suggest that should be the first stepping stone to get into government relations?
absolutely. I think it's one of the best things you can do. And I heard people say when I was in college, when we'd have guest speakers come in, they always would say the best thing you can do to get your foot in the door is work on a campaign. And you really don't appreciate it until, you know, you get a few years past it and you look back and you're like, yeah, that's the best thing I've done for myself. And when I was on Governor Kemp's campaign, I was a grassroots intern. So I was doing the phone dials, the putting out yard signs, the knocking doors, the not fun part of campaigning, I will say. But you know, I got so involved in it. And once I met Governor Kemp and his family and got to know the people on staff, I became so passionate about it. And I really believed in him and I believed in what I was doing. And, you know, then it added a whole nother level of purpose to it. And so I think it's really good to kind of do that grunt work and find someone that you really believe in, get plugged in and do it. Because so many people that I met on that 2018 campaign, I still work with daily now. And, you know, we've all kind of dispersed and done different things within state politics. But some of those relationships are relationships I still have now and friends that I still have. So I think it's such a great experience to just get involved and do that hard work, because it gives you a whole appreciation for all of it.
So I know, like, it's probably not all like rainbows and ponies with this job. So what is like the one thing which you feel like, oh man, this thing, one thing I wish it would have been better, then I think it's really good about your job.
Okay. Let me think about that a minute.
Okay.
I think that, you know, I am someone who can sometimes get, I'm a very dedicated person. Like, once I get started on something, I'm very much all in on it. And I think that I have to remind myself that it's A, not all about me, and B, that not everything is going to go wonderfully. Not every bill is going to pass. Not every thing you want to get accomplished is going to get accomplished. And I think you just have to be very aware that while you're in your little universe working on all your things, you have all these other people around you, legislators, fellow lobbyists, that also have their things they're wanting to do. And so I would say it's not really an issue with the institution or the people, but more of something that I have to remind myself is that, you know, you're working with these other people, and sometimes you'll get, like, honestly, sometimes you'll get screwed over, and sometimes, whether intentionally or not. And, you know, it's not personal most of the time. Most of the time, other people just have their other priorities that they're looking to accomplish. And you can't burn bridges over it. You have to just get up and move on. And the good thing about the way that it works in Georgia is, you know, we're on a 2-year cycle. So you got 2 years to pass a bill. So if, you know, it doesn't work out the first year, then maybe the second year in the biennial, you can do work in the off season and come back. And so I think just, not taking it personal and knowing when, you know, how to react when you're in those situations, and maintain those relationships, I think is really important. I don't know if that's really the answer you were looking for there, but
no, like I said, there's no wrong answer. So you're good. And if I were to ask you a tricky question here. So let's say if you're given a situation where you believe in the policy, right? You know, whatever was been drafted. But let's say your client or your, you know, the organization who you're trying to do it, they don't want you to, you know, fight for it. So what would you do in such a situation?
You know, I think when you're in that situation, that's something that as a young lobbyist, I'm still kind of working through. In that at the end of the day, I'm there to represent my clients' wishes. And, you know, you can work in the capacity of me as an individual, Brooke Turner, having a conversation. But I think in that situation, it's, you know, you're there to represent your client. And so I think in that situation, I would, if their wishes are to not engage, then I would not engage, because that's what I've been charged to do as their representation. But I know that's a tough spot to be in. It's not fun. But at the end of the day, I'm not there to lobby for myself. I'm not there to lobby, you know, make myself look better, or, you know, I'm there to work on behalf of my client. So I think that's what I would have to do in that situation.
Like, how much of this job would you need, like, a thick skin? Like, I mean, people keep saying you cannot take things personally, but we're humans, right? So we kind of, because we work so hard on something, and let's say if it doesn't you know go to what you want it to be done, how do you, you know, can you train yourself to be not to be taking things personally, or is that, was that innate in you?
Oh no, that is something I have had to work on a lot, and something that I am still working on and probably will be for the rest of my life. I'm quite a people pleaser. I really don't like conflict. I don't like, that's not my thing. And so I definitely have had to learn, how to make that separation between, you know, and that's what's kind of hard about lobbying is so much of it is the personal relationships that you build with others.
Yeah.
And so it is kind of hard to kind of separate that line between, you know, we've been working together and we've, you know, we've built rapport and we know each other's families and all of these things. It is kind of hard as a human, like you said, for your knee-jerk reaction to not be like, oh my gosh, you know? And so it's definitely not something that comes naturally to me. It's something I have to keep in mind. And I think that coming up in this, I've had a lot of people that have kind of taken me under their wing and given me a lot of advice. And, you know, my boss, Mark, being one of them. And I just try to look at those that have been doing this a lot longer than me and kind of pick up those little nuggets. And I think that's kind of helped me toughen up a little bit.
Nice. That's good. Well, with that, let's move into a little bit into your future. Tell us what is it, what is in store for you? I mean, what do you, would you like to continue doing? What is your passion? Like where you see like, oh, I would love to keep doing this, you know, next couple of years.
Yeah. I really love where I am. I'm really, really happy in the capacity in which I work right now. The clients I get to work with, I enjoy. And, you know, my boss knows my favorite little areas, like I mentioned, education and mental health, like I said earlier with the Veterans Clinic. And so he's really let me run with those things that I really enjoy. And so I would like to keep polishing up what I know about education and, you know, all these different areas I've taken an interest in. I'd like to just keep on that path where I'm able to work on those things that I really enjoy and just grow my skill set. And I enjoy lobbying. I really do. So I'm not looking to leave this anytime soon. I enjoy government relations a lot. And so what the future looks like, I don't have an answer for you quite yet, but I really enjoy where I am. And I just want to keep building on the skill set that I'm growing right now.
And I don't think I've asked you this question, but why education and mental health? Why do you have a strong passion towards both those two areas?
So, you know, with education, my dad is a teacher and he just retired after 30 years in education recently.
Okay.
So he's been a teacher, he's been a principal, he's worked at State Department of Education. So growing up around that, I've seen so many different levels of what it takes to make education work. You know, it's not just the teacher, it's not just, you know, the State Department of Education, it's not just the legislature. It's such an ecosystem that it takes to truly educate a child. And so I think growing up and seeing him in all those different capacities made me really appreciate how much goes into it. And so that's how I got into education. And then with mental health, it's just, I started working on this project last year and I just went all in on it and have just, the more I've learned about it, it's just been something that I've really just enjoyed. And it makes it so meaningful, you know, it's so impactful. Sometimes you work on something up there and you're like, you know, it's important to you and it's important to your client and you know that it's going to make a difference, but it's kind of not a tangible thing that you can see. And with this specific project we've worked on, it's just, you can see it right in front of you. You know, there's a clinic standing in Hinesville, Georgia right now that serves veterans and their families. And you can go in and you can see it. You can see what they're doing and it's right in front of you. And it's so obvious. And so that's kind of how I got into those two little worlds. And it's been amazing.
Nice. That's a lot of gratification right there. Well, Brooke, I don't think I have anything else. Oh, one last question, I guess, before we end this conversation. Do you have any one piece of advice for someone who wants to get into it? What do you say, like, you know, based on the experience that you had, that they should do?
Like I said, I think working a campaign is a really great first step. I think you learn a lot, you meet a lot of people. And I think it's great to go all in and get passionate about something. I think that's a great thing. And then as far as when you actually get to the Capitol, once you're in there, just soak everything up like a sponge, just meet everyone you possibly can. I wish that I had been more proactive about that when I was younger. I wish that I had, you know, been more proactive about reaching out and setting up a lunch or setting up a coffee and just sitting down and getting to know people and listening to what people have to say. And so I feel like you hear that advice a lot, but you know, when you get on the other side of it, you really like, man, I wish I really would have taken advantage of that to the fullest potential. So I think just being kind to people, just meeting people, getting to know them and building those relationships, I think that's like the best thing you can do getting started.
Awesome. Brooke, I can definitely say with the few minutes I've been with you, you're truly one of the kindest people I've talked to. Thanks so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.